I got shooters touch. Can't nobody ball like me.
I was getting a lot of no letters. And I kept some of the letters because it was like motivation for me.
I was young in my coaching career. I did know that those guys I was coaching, this was their one opportunity.
If you really want the players to like you, just make them better.
If I want to keep playing this game, you know, as a job, I have to continue to get better at that.
You have to figure out a way to carve out some value that you have that you can bring not only to your team but also your profession.
It's really good information, and I pick up little nuggets all the time.
For me, it's all about confidence, man. You have to have confidence to be a shooter, to be a basketball player in general, and to have success. It's all about confidence. If they walk a mile in my shoes, then they can ball like I do. But my game different, not the
same with it. I travel now, y'all just change pivots. Shooters, welcome into another episode of the Shooters Touch Podcast. We're thankful you're listening and we appreciate your support. We have a fun episode for you today. We bring on Drake point guard Roman Penn. Roman's an all-MVC player and the floor general for the Bulldogs. And he comes to us from the region, which has been really good to the Bulldogs here in the past years. And so we talk about that growing up and what ultimately brought him to Drake. A lot of growth for Roman over the last couple of years. And so it's fun to dig into his story and learn a little bit more about him. I think you guys are going to enjoy this one. So let's get into it. As always, shooters shoot. I don't really speak too much. Ain't about a check, I don't talk for free.
Try to walk a day in my shoes. No matter if the cost of G. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Shooters, welcome into another episode of the Shooters Touch Podcast. With us today, Drake point guard Roman Penn. Roman, welcome to the podcast, man.
Hey, how you guys doing, man? Appreciate the invite.
Yeah, we're excited to finally get you on. I was joking off air, the toughest man in Des Moines to track down. We've been trying to get you on the hook here for a while. I know our schedule's been crazy, your schedule's been crazy, and so we're excited to finally get a chance to sit down and hear a little bit about how summer and how Drake basketball has been going.
Man, I'm excited, man. I've been following along on a lot of podcasts, and a lot of my teammates been telling me about it, so I'm excited.
Well, good, man. Well, so let's start there. How's summer going? I'll get this out of the way right away. How's the foot? What's the deal with the foot? Are we feeling good? Everything? What's the injury update?
Yeah. So, the summer's been great. Just been doing a lot of physical therapy, getting healthy again. Just taking my time this summer, enjoying it a little bit more, actually. So it's been a great summer. I got cleared a couple weeks ago. So, I mean, you know, I'm just getting back into motions and the motion of just playing basketball, just getting back in condition a little bit. But, I mean, it's been a great summer so far. I mean, I really enjoyed it. Just kind of not doing the grind of the practice every day, but more so just doing the grind of just, you know, getting my foot stronger, getting stronger physically as well. And then just kind of enjoying the sun a little bit, working here and there. So, you know, just doing life.
Yeah, you got to do that, man. It's all, you know, you got to have a balance. And obviously you get to your fifth year. You've been playing this game for a long time. You've been playing at the college level for a long time. And so it's like, you kind of get it. You know, you've been there. You kind of know the balance between what you need to do to make sure your game stays sharp. But, you know, mentally, physically, you got to be sharp too. Obviously it's no secret you've struggled with some injuries throughout your college career. And so finding a way to make sure that you have that balance. And with that, so what made the decision to come back? Obviously you have the COVID year in there. Was it an easy decision for you? Were you like, hey man, this playing Drake basketball thing is pretty sweet, I'm going to come back? Or what did that process look like for you?
It was definitely, an easy decision. This is home to me. Being here for so long with a lot of my teammates, a lot of people who I came here with when we first got here, and just how it feels like home a little bit. And you know, coming off an injury, it was just kind of real shaky, you know, trying to go play professionally off of that. So you know, I just, you know, decided to come back for another year and get to play with DJ and Garrett, you know, some of the guys who I was originally here with. You know, get to play with coach and, you know, stay in Iowa again. I mean, play for a great program, a great school. I mean, you know, why not play another year of college? It's a, you know, it's a great experience. It's just a great atmosphere. And I love the fans. I mean, it's very fun. You know, I love Drake. I love Iowa. It grew on me a lot. So, I mean, I'm excited to get after it this year. You know, hopefully we stay healthy, stay focused, but it's going to be a fun year.
Do you feel like after last year, maybe a little unfinished business too? Some things that you guys got to go out and take care of this year?
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, we want to try and go out with a bang. Hopefully, we've gotten there the last 2 years in a championship game. So you know, hopefully we can reach it for a third year in a row. You know, it's gonna be tough this year with the new additions to the conferences, but I mean, I'm excited. You know, we got some great teams in the conference, some great players that are returning, great people that transferred in. So, I mean, the Valley is going to be a fun, tough league like always. So, I mean, we're excited. We're just going to keep working, though. You know, I definitely want to get back to that championship game, though. That was a fun experience. So, hopefully we can repeat that.
Yeah, we all want you to get back there. That's been a lot of fun the last couple of years watching you guys down in St. Louis. You talked about kind of starting to fall in love here with this Iowa thing. What do you kind of like most about it? I mean, you mentioned playing basketball at Drake, living in Des Moines. I mean, there's a lot of good things going for Drake and for the ability, your career. And so what's it been about the Drake community and the Des Moines community that you've kind of really enjoyed over the last couple of years?
I just love how like tight knit it is in a way, you know, how they have all these cities outside of Des Moines, like Ankeny, West Des Moines, stuff like that. Instacart, I grocery delivery. So, I mean, it's really good for me to get to each city and I can make a good amount of money, you know, every day. And it's just real accessible to get to certain spots. And I kind of just built a good family around here as far as like my teammates, just friends I met outside of basketball and then people I've met outside of basketball. I got a lot of friends that work at spots now. Like one of my friends works for the Iowa Cubs. So, I mean, that's great. He's the marketing manager there. So, I mean, just going to Cubs games now, baseball games. I really went to baseball games, if that. So, just doing little things like that. Waiting for the Top Golf. I heard that's coming. I haven't been there or done that yet. So, I'm excited for that. But really just the whole Drake community, it's been great. The coaches live like 10 minutes away from just Drake. So, I mean, going over there for dinner or whatever, just hanging out with his family, the coaches' families, it's great. I mean, it's just got that family orientation feeling over here. So it's been a great, great city. It's developing so much. So I'm just excited.
That's awesome. That's great to hear. I've seen a handful of the iCubs retweets on your page. So I wondered where the connection or what. I'm like, is this dude just a big Cubs fan or what? But that makes sense then, helping out your boy a little bit.
Man, my guy, man. He's doing a great job over there. So, you know, just helping out each other.
Good. Well, we always we like to turn the hands back a little bit here at Suitors Touch and learn a little bit about coming up. And so what was childhood like for you? What was the neighborhood, maybe some of the neighborhood games like? And then ultimately, like, what role did sports play in your childhood? And then ultimately basketball. But what was the neighborhood like? Did you play a lot of sports? Was it competitive? Did you have some brothers and sisters that challenged you? What was that like?
So I grew up in Federal Way, Washington. And I remember playing at the Boys and Girls Club across the street from where my mother lived and my auntie lived. And since I can remember, that was, you know, basketball has always been my sport. I was running track, but, you know, I was never that fast of a sprinter at that time and still to this day. So I was really just sticking with basketball. I played football around elementary, around the fourth, fifth grade, third grade. And then I got into baseball sixth, seventh grade. So I think baseball probably was my second favorite sport. But I had to let that go. It was just – I actually got scared when they started pitching a little faster. When it kind of got older, they backed the mound up, and then it just got a little fast. And I was just like, yeah, let me just stick to focus on basketball.
I could see you. I could see you being a good little baseball player. That's for sure. So then when did you really kind of take basketball serious? Were you like, hey, this is my thing?
I think I took it serious probably sixth, seventh grade. I was always an AAU travel basketball, like in elementary. So, I mean, I was always involved in it. But, you know, I can't say I was serious in elementary as much as I was serious, you know, in middle school. So I think middle school is when I realized I was going to I really wanted to play basketball. I started watching it a lot more, watching a lot of YouTube. YouTube was kind of blowing up at that time. So YouTube was everything for me. Watching Ballers Life mixtapes. I remember watching that daily. So kind of middle school. And then once I got to high school, I think that's when really I started getting into routine and, you know, starting to find ways to get better. And then obviously I started lifting, you know, around freshman, sophomore year. So yeah, middle school is when I took it serious.
And so Washington, who'd you watch growing up? Who was your squad?
So I was, my favorite player is Dwayne Wade. So okay. I was always, you know, Miami Heat fan. And people don't believe me when I say I was Miami Heat fan before LeBron got there. You know how that goes. But Dwayne Wade was my favorite player always. So, I mean, I watched the Heat faithfully since, you know, middle school. And then I also grew up in so I moved to Indiana when I was 10 years old. And my family over there, they were in Chicago. You know, we're right there in Hammond, Indiana. So Chicago's like 20 minutes away. So it's Chicago Bulls. And at that time, it was, you know, Derrick Rose versus LeBron in Eastern Conference. So it was a heated household, but it was always fun and just competitive because, you know, the Heat always won at that time. Yep. So it was all smiles.
I was going to say, as soon as you said that, I'm like, man, that had to have been like prime D Rose in those eras, and watching him, what he was able to do those first couple of years with the Bulls had to be pretty exciting though.
Oh yeah, it was great watching that. It was just seeing that every day because, I mean, it was on the local TV, you know, every day, local TV station at the time that cable was still being used. So, I mean, just watching him play every day and just seeing how explosive he was and just how he was doing all that at, you know, 21, 22, it was crazy.
It's still crazy. It's like the biggest what if he doesn't get hurt, what if, like, what does that career look like? It's crazy yeah. to think, but so who do you think that you kind of started emulating your game after, you know, as you start to get up freshman, sophomore, high school, was there a certain player, somebody, you know, YouTube videos or training that you kind of watched a lot of?
So I would say I was a big fan of, I mean, obviously Dwayne Wade was my favorite player, you know, even though he didn't play a point guard role, he just, I don't know what happened. I don't know even how that felt, you know, came together, but that was just my favorite player. But I watched a lot of Chris Paul at the time and Steve Nash before, you know, a lot of his injuries had taken place. But I mean, those are two players that I watched a lot that, you know, I loved watching them play because they had a pace to themselves. They weren't like the fastest. And at that time in high school, I was, you know, I wasn't fast at all. So it was just me trying to find players that I kind of can, you know, resemble my game towards. Mm-hmm. So kind of that's what I did. And then, you know, two of my favorite players now are Kyrie Irving and Damian Lillard. So I love the way that they carry themselves. I love the way that they just play the game.
Yeah, I can see the Steve Nash now that you say that, like just a little bit of, you know, the wiggle and then obviously the shot. I mean, you shoot it well and you shoot it with good form. You kind of have, you know, a little bit of that release like Nash. And so I can see where that all kind of came together. So I like it. So what did high school look like for you then? You know, you're getting at the varsity level. What do you kind of remember of high school basketball? And what was like your biggest takeaway from playing in high school?
Man, high school was great for me. So my freshman year, I played on the freshman team and JV team. And I mean, that was just a great experience because I was able to get a lot of playing time and just, you know, learn how to play high school basketball. You know, it's a step above middle school. So I mean, it was great. I went to Bishop Noel, which is a Catholic school in Hammond, Indiana, private school. So a lot of my friends came over there and we were trying to create like a super team. But, you know, that didn't work out. But it was just a great feeling. You know, at the time, you know, as your freshman, you're just like, oh, this is about to be us in 3 years. We're going to be here. You know, you look at all these movies and stuff. So it was, I mean, my freshman year, I played freshman in JV, and I had a great year. Sophomore year, I was able to make the varsity team, and I played on a team. We were pretty deep. We had a lot of seniors on our team, so I was able to find my niche in the rotation, and it was just great learning from all those guys, all those seniors on that team. Junior year is when I kind of made the turn of, you know, being a more productive player, more aggressive, you know, more just in the actions of what's going on. And then I would say my senior was obviously my best year personally. I feel like it was just a great year for me confidence wise. I was able to you know, grind the whole summer going into the senior year, and it was just a great summer, a great season for me. But, you know, I didn't end up getting any offers, which then led me to going to Don Bosco in Crown Point, which is a prep school.
Yeah, and I want to talk about prep school too. But, you know, before we get there, what was the AAU like? Did you play every summer then AAU, and what programs were you involved with?
Yeah, so I don't think I missed a summer in AAU since I can remember. I was always involved with some AAU team. I played in high school, I played for SYF players. And so I played with DJ my junior year and the Murphy twins, Tramell and Anthony, both my junior year. So, I mean, that's pretty crazy at that we're all, you know, on the same team. But, I mean, they were all 20 minutes apart from me, or lived 20 minutes apart from me, because they, you know, grew up in the same area. We all grew up in the same area, played each other in high school since freshman year. So, I mean, I always just always knowing them, that was great. I had played on SYF, which was an Under Armour team. So, you know, we were at a lot of big tournaments, playing a lot of the top players that you see, you know, even on TV right now in the NBA. So it was just a great experience, you know, being a part of that program and just, you know, learning what it takes to compete with the best players.
So where does Tank fit into all that too? Was he was in your guys' area too, right?
Yep. So Tank lived in Michigan City. His school was 40 minutes. So his school was a little farther, but I mean, it's still in the region. And so Tank played, yeah, I played against Tank since middle school as well. And he played in AAU. I don't remember what AAU team he played for, but then he ended up going to, you know, Green Bay when we went to Drake. And then, you know, 2 years later, he ended up getting to Drake. But I mean, I've been knowing Tank since middle school and high school as well. So, it's just a small world when you think about it.
Well, it is. And you can tell, I mean, obviously it's been noted too throughout your guys' career at Drake, but you can just tell, you know, really with you four out on the court and the way that you guys kind of talk and interact with each other, that it's like, hey, we didn't just meet each other yesterday. Like this is a real relationship, and you know, all the good that comes with that. And so you mentioned it earlier, but let's talk about the prep school. So how did the prep school come about? So you know, you mentioned you having a good senior year. I believe you were All-State honorable mention, and obviously a good basketball state. And so did you have some low division offers or no offers, or what was the thought? And then ultimately, how did you decide on prep school?
Hold on. I forgot to also mention Jonah Jackson. And I can't forget Jonah. So Jonah was also from Maryville High School, and we played together and played against each other. So I didn't want to forget my guy, Jonah.
No, what with Jonah, is he up in Minneapolis now doing some training stuff, or what's he up to?
Yes. So Jonah is doing his own training in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I want to say it's called True to Hoops Training. And I mean, he's, you know, he really knows what he's doing. He's really good with the kids. He's a great guy. I mean, he's great with the kids. So if you guys, anybody listening to this wants to, you know, sign up with him, he's a great guy, great trainer.
He's got a flame too. He can shoot it.
Oh man, he can shoot it. You learned it from one of the best shooters.
That's right. So no, that's good. That's awesome. I know I've seen a few things, or you know, him talking about that program that he's got going up there in the cities. And so, yeah, that's awesome. That's good for him. It's just crazy. I mean, add it to the list. Another guy from which I believe it's called the region, right? Your guys, the region. That's awesome, man. Then the ability to get all you guys on campus at Drake is definitely something special. And so. But yeah, so back to prep school then. So how did that kind of all come about?
You know, going into my senior year, after the senior year, I obviously didn't have any offers. I had a JUCO, a junior college that was looking at me. But, you know, I kind of didn't really want to go the junior college route, just for as far as me wanting to keep my eligibility and also just, you know, be at a college institute. I always wanted to be at a college for 4 years. That was kind of my thing. I had one of my coaches at my AU team knew a coach at the prep school at the time, and Don Bosco was about 2-3 years in as far as establishment. So we had that little connection. Crown Point is about 35-40 minutes away from me, so I ended up getting you know, signing with them, and then I was able to play with, I mean, 9 great players. A lot of them were from two or three or four of them were from the region. And the rest were from like Illinois, and then some from you know, around the Indianapolis area. And I think my 8 out of 10 or 9 out of 10 went full ride scholarships to another school. So, I mean, that was, I was part of a great team. And just going into that year, it was just a great year for me. So I didn't get my first offer till, I want to say, December, which was from Siena College, Coach Patzos. And that was the first school to offer me. But before that, I didn't really have, I mean, I didn't have anything, honestly. I didn't have any looks or any interest. But, I mean, I had a great prep year, prep school year that first half of the semester. And then I got the offer around December and ended up committing like a couple days later to enroll into the second semester over there. So committed, flew in over there like a couple days later and, you know, ended up at Siena while mid-season. And I never thought about how crazy that was until kind of just, you know, being in college now, you think about it like, wow, that's, I went halfway through the season and went to a school. So it was cool. It was different, a unique situation, but I mean, I love my prep school year. It was a great season for me. It helped me develop a lot, especially physically and mentally more than anything, just, you know, trying to get through adversity at that time, trying to, you know, reach a goal that I always wanted to get to, which was be a Division I basketball player. And I think that was a year that kind of really turned me into, you know, becoming more of an adult, a man, as you would say.
So do you think the prep year helped you more physically? Like, did you feel like you're getting stronger? I know most kids, it's like high school, you get in the weight room, but it just takes a little bit while to physically develop. Or do you think it helped you more on the mental side of things and kind of just, like you mentioned, kind of grow and maybe mature and kind of figure things out a little more?
Honestly, I think it helped equally both, because Coach Kev, who was our weight coach over there, he was really into a lot of things that we do now in college or even college programs do. And I think that was the biggest thing as far as me getting stronger was, you know, what ways can I do to get stronger other than just, you know, heavy lifting or just bench pressing or squatting and, you know, different things, like things that would translate to the basketball court. And when I got to Don Bosco, we did so much of the same stuff that we're doing now. It actually helped me. So once I got to Siena, I was already, you could say, hit the ground running a little bit as far as like knowing how to power clean, things like that. You know, doing different type of exercises and while we're doing it. So, I mean, that helped me as far as physically. That was the best thing that could have happened to me. And then, I mean, we had gym access. We had a shooting gun in the facility. So, I mean, I could just, you know, shoot as many shots as I wanted to with, you know, having access to a shooting gun. Mentally wise, you know, just going to prep school and then going through me trying to fight for a scholarship, that was, you know, something that pushed me mentally to get stronger and just, you know, keep fighting through adversity. And, you know, one thing I took away from that year was you never know who's watching. And that kind of just makes the whole year a lot more, you know, sense, made it a lot more sense. You know, you could be in a gym working out and a coach would be looking at one of my teammates, but I could be playing really good in that workout. And then they come talk to you right after. So that, you know, showed me like, wow, I got to make sure I'm always, you know, focused no matter who's in the gym, who's watching. Cause you know, our coaches are always working behind the scenes as well. So I think that's one of the biggest takeaways I got from being at prep school.
That's great. You know, that was really good too. Really good advice. So then Siena, tell me a little bit about that. That was just a quick stop, right? 1 year at Siena, but I think how did things go? What was that like? I know that you had 19 starts, played in 23 games, I believe is what the bio says. And so how was that experience for you?
I mean, Siena was great for me again, as far as me fighting through adversity. You know, I went to New York, which is probably the farthest I've ever been from home as far as going to school. But it was something new and something that I wanted. It was a new adventure and I was excited to go there. So I rode there, you know, in December, didn't know nobody on the team when I got there. And they had a game the next day, I remember. And we were in the locker room, you know, kind of watching film on the team they were playing. I didn't really know anything about, you know, anything at the time. So just learning from the older guys. It was a great group of seniors at that time when I enrolled there. So, I mean, they took me under their wing. And one of my best friends to this day that I still talk to, his name is Sammy Friday. He was like the first person to come see me when I touched down, you know, when I landed down there. So, you know, seeing guys like that, it was just a great, you know, I just had great mentors, great people that helped me there. And, you know, the first year it was rough for us. We went like 8-24. I ended up having a cyst in my heel. So I missed like the last 11 games and I had to have season ended surgery. And then after the season, you know, the whole thing kind of just fell apart. You know, our coaches ended up, you know, having to get resigned and all that. So that led to me transferring, ended up here at Drake. Coach Marty Richter, he's the one that recruited me here. He had, you know, obviously he had the connection with the Twins and DJ. So that's kind of how that all came together. My prep coach knew Coach Richter. And then next thing you know, I was on a visit here to Des Moines. And at the same time I was on a visit was the same time Coach DeVries, Nick Norton, Brady Ellison, everybody on that team. That was the first time we were all there at that same time. So it was crazy now that I think about it. We met at a bowling alley. The whole team was at a bowling alley. No one knew each other. And that was our team right there.
That's awesome. I'm glad you said that because that was going to be my next question is what did the recruitment look like then coming to Drake? And if Marty was involved, then I know it's a wrap because that dude, I mean, talk about good at what he does. He's a good dude, a great recruiter. And I mean, that guy, I feel like could sell water to the well. That's for sure.
Man, he's one of the best coaches I've ever had. And he's really genuine. He just keeps honest with you, you know, and I think that's what you want from a coach in general is always that's the stuff that you don't want to hear. And that's what I love about him. And just, you know, he's the reason I'm here today. He's brought us all here from the region. So, I mean, you know, having him in my life and just being with around his whole family and Miss Bryn, I mean, they have a great family. It's some great kids. I mean, it's just a great family and I love, you know, hanging out with them and love, you know, interacting with them.
So outside of all the connections to the region and Marty's wizardry that we know about, anything else that just tipped your decision to say, hey, I want to come to Drake. I want to be a Bulldog. You know, were you excited about the opportunity with the new guys and kind of the fresh start with the staff and, you know, Nick Norton and some of those older guys that were coming here to try to build something. Was there something about having the opportunity to really kind of be a part of something and build something for the future that intrigued you?
Yeah, kind of what you just said. Just having a whole new clean slate with new coaching staff, you know, a new team. Honestly, I didn't know Iowa at that time when, you know, Coach Richter called me. I didn't know nothing about Iowa, honestly. And I didn't really know too much about Drake. So it was crazy when they called me about it. And then, you know, how that happened was he called me and then DJ called me right after. And then the Twins called me like 2 minutes after that. So, I mean, it was just crazy at that time. And, you know, having a new coaching staff is something I kind of I wanted to happen because I just wanted, you know, a fair shot at wherever I was going to. You know, it's my first time transferring. So I didn't know how that goes. I didn't know how the whole transfer process, how that works and stuff. And, you know, finding out that they were having 11 new players on the team, I was like, well, this is like a tryout, you know, just competing against guys that all want the same thing, want to win, you know, want to pursue a championship. And, you know, the thing about this team I always say is, like, this is the these guys, every player that's been at Drake had a great heart and just was a great teammate. Like, that first time we stepped in that bowling alley, it was just – it was all love. It was crazy. It was all love. You know, we would compete so hard in practice, but after practice, we would go to the pool and, you know, the whole team would be there. And I always say that, and that's been like that for 4 years. Ever since I've been here, that's been like that. And I think that goes a long way and that, you know, has an effect on how you do during the season. And I think that's why we always had, you know, a good amount of successes because we had that relationship off the court. But, you know, going into that year at Drake, that first year, it was just, yeah, kind of want to go into a coach that just let me play my game, you know, and coach showed some clips of, like, how they used to play at Creighton. And, I mean, who doesn't want to play for a team that plays that fast, you know, that freely and just, you know, runs and guns and goes up and down and then plays hard on defense. So, I mean, it was a no-brainer for me.
Oh, and going back to, you know, the relationship that you guys have formed and just the guys that you have had on the team since your time at Drake, I think it shows in your play. And I think it's also a big reason on, you know, you guys have traditionally overachieved. I mean, it's something where, you know, since you guys have got there, it's a little bit of the unknown because – you know, we don't know enough about these guys or this guy or whatever. You know, and just each year, you guys continue to just reel off wins, continue to get hit by the injury bug, and then it just next guy in. And you have to have good chemistry. You have to have belief in each other to be able to do that. And I think that speaks volumes to your point in that, you know, you just have a lot of good basketball players, but you have a lot of really good guys there in the blue and white.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And like you said, with the injury bug, I mean, you don't continue to have good, you know, you don't continue to win with the injury bug unless you have players that are ready and focused and know their role. And I think that's why we were, you know, always where we're at, because everybody knew their role going into the season, and it didn't even have to be talked about. That was the craziest part. Like, we never had to discuss what our role was. It was kind of like we go through the practice and you just kind of mold yourself into a role and what we need to do to win and what the coaches need for us to do to win. And I think that's, you know, why we're great. And I always think about Garrett as, you know, a blueprint of knowing your role and knowing what it takes to win. And I mean, and he's a huge part of our success these last 5 years.
Absolutely. Be a superstar in your role. And that is exactly what Garrett and really the whole team, you know, has been. And again, to your point, I mean, we've had five or six of you guys on the podcast now, and it's all very much the same. I mean, from Nick McGlynn to Norton to DJ, I mean, you all of you guys, it's just been something that, you know, you guys have gotten along, you've seen it on the court, and you carry yourself in a way in which that you kind of know that, hey, this team is bigger than me. And so as we step on the court a little bit, I mean, from the get-go, obviously you sat out for transfer, but then that 19-20 season, you came in all NBC, newcomer of the year, you know, made an impact right away, you know, especially offensively, running the point, handling the ball. And so what do you remember about that first year in a Drake jersey, you know, getting in there, getting an opportunity to make an impact right away?
That first year, I mean, the first year at Drake was definitely another learning experience for me. I felt like I had an okay year. And, you know, I think we could have did a lot better as far as competing on that, you know, during that year. And, you know, I think for the year that we had, we could have had a lot better year and made, you know, a lot more wins and stuff like that. But, I mean, it was a great year. It was a great learning experience. And it kind of just motivated the team, you know, going into the next year to see, you know, okay, this is what we have. But I think we can do a lot better if we focus on, you know, this summer. And I think that was our biggest thing. You know, the first year at Drake was great for me, you know, just being in a new environment, being on a new team, just, you know, I was so excited because I sat out that previous year. And, you know, I didn't have the year that I wanted to. So, you know, I was kind of just a little down, but I mean, it was great motivation going into that summer and then going into that next year.
And so just to kind of set the timeline a little bit, especially for our listeners. So the year you sat out for transfer would have been Nick Norton's last year and the year that he got hurt, correct?
Yep. Right? That was the first year that Coach DeVries era.
Yep. Yeah. And so you kind of think, obviously, you never want to change anything, but that had to have been something where obviously Norton goes down, you know, having a good first part of the year. I imagine that practice was good for both you and him to be able to compete against each other. And then he goes down and you're like, man, I want to step in and I want to help these guys out. So I imagine that first year too, sitting out and, you know, just practicing had to be a little bit challenging, but also a growing time for you as well.
Yeah. Yeah. That year sitting out actually helped me way in a huge way as far as confidence wise, because I was able to get a lot of reps in as far as just working out, because I didn't have to play. So it was, you know, me working out and then going to practice. So I was able to get, you know, double the amount of workouts in. I had, you know, the coaches helped me out a lot, you know, putting me through workouts before the games, just doing all kinds of things. And, you know, it was unfortunate of Nick Norton's injury, because he was a great player. He was, you know, the anchor of that team, and he made him go. And I think they could have really made a run that year, you know, had he stayed healthy, honestly. But I mean, you know, having him on the staff now, he's helped me so much this year as well. Just, you know, being there, helping, working me out, you know, just helping me in little things, you know, giving me knowledge. But, you know, competing against Norton every day was great as far as just learning from a great point guard who's been in college for, you know, 4+ years. And then having Brady Ellison, who came from Iowa, who's, I mean, those guys are the two greatest shooters I've ever played with, you know, to this day, I tell everybody that. And, you know, playing against them in practice, competing against them, I mean, it was just great, and it made me a better player going into that year.
Yeah, and that's, like you said, then you come in, you know, making plays right away and making an impact on that team. You know, went 20-14 that first year in a Drake jersey for you. And then you kind of mentioned it. As that year's wrapping up, you know, you guys took some small victories from it, but went into summer hungry and came out and showed that hunger. As your second year, obviously, is the year you guys started out 18-0, ended the year 26-5. So that was also the COVID year, correct? And that was the year with basically the home and homes. Do you think that the home and homes and playing the back-to-back nights on that, you think that was a benefit for you guys? Obviously, it worked on paper. It looked like it worked in your favor. But what do you remember about the change in schedule? And obviously that 18-0 run there to start the year.
Oh, yeah, it was, I think it benefited us because we were, you know, going into that summer, just, you know, competing against each other, we kind of realized we were kind of deep that year. I mean, everybody had an extra year under their belt. So it was, you know, we kind of knew what we wanted to do and all that. So, I mean, you know, playing back-to-backs in the MVC, it was definitely a benefit for us. And, you know, it was just a different year, you know, for everybody. Just, you know, first off, you're playing back to backs and then you're playing at the, you know, same location back to back, I guess the same team. So that was a little weird, but, I mean, it was just a fun year all around, you know, regardless of all the protocols that we had to do. And then, you know, the COVID shutdown of 2 weeks or 3 weeks where of no basketball, it was crazy, but I mean, that was also one of the best years of my life, you know, and just as far as just being a part of a great team who just didn't care whose night it was, you know, it was a great feeling, just great energy, you know, regardless of if there was 5 people in the gym at the time, you know, you always felt that energy from our whole team, you know, going down from the last guy on the bench to the first guy off the bench.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. We'll get to March too in that run, but yeah, to your point, I do think that the back-to-back, the home and homes that you guys had that year definitely helped you, because I feel like from a preparation standpoint, like, we don't know a lot about this Drake team, and then all of a sudden you guys come out and hit him in the mouth, and now they have a night to prepare for you, and you come out and hit him in the mouth again. And you know, that was something that was a lot of fun to watch. And obviously you got a couple good wins at the beginning of the year too. You know, that first win of the year at Kansas State was a good one, and then absolutely just waxed Air Force at home as well. And so there was a couple really good wins. So no excuses for these other teams not to know what was coming when Drake got into town. But and then catching Loyola at home for 2 instead of having to go over there, that's always kind of nice. And so yeah, there's definitely some of the schedule that played into your advantage. But then as you guys are getting along and people are starting to talk about Drake, and you know, you're 18-0, and I can't remember how many undefeated teams there were that late in the season, but was that something that you took on the challenge? And at any point, did it kind of start to feel like the target got a little bit bigger, or what do you remember about the undefeated start?
Oh yeah, it was crazy, because, you know, I kind of remember the first game we played Kansas State, and we felt like we could, we felt like we could compete with them at that time. And, you know, winning that game, I remember that feeling like, okay, we got our first victory, and, you know, we were excited, you know. And then the next day we had to play South Dakota State, got that one. And we're kind of just taking it game by game, honestly. You know, I didn't want to overlook any team at any time, because, I mean, it was just already a crazy year, so anything could happen. And then I think once, you know, we got through non-conference, we were sitting at 9-0. You know, I think our first big challenge was playing Indiana State at their place twice in a row, and they're always a tough team to play. And being able to win 2 games over there, I think that's when we started realizing, like, okay, you know, I think we could go a little farther, because that, you know, that kind of just boosted our confidence. I mean, that was a great, at that time it was just hard to win on the road, and we didn't do good on the road the year previous to that. So I was like, oh, at this point, I'm like, it don't matter if we home or away. I think we can compete with any team. And then, you know, after that, we played SIU, a team that we struggle with because, you know, how good they are and how physical they are. And then we were able to beat them twice. And then after that, it was just like, I didn't think we were going to lose to anybody, honestly.
Well, because then after that,
you know, we were just, yeah.
Well, oh, no, because that Loyola game got postponed, right? Those got moved. So the schedule kind of got jostled up a little bit. That's the other thing, man. It had to be crazy. Like, you think you're preparing for one team and schedule changes, protocol. I mean, it's had to have been just a wild. I mean, just to add to the circus of also just reeling off wins.
Yeah, that was crazy. I remember preparing for Loyola. I think we had like at that time you have like 4 or 5 days of preparation too as well, because the games are on Saturday, Sunday. And at that time, I think they were doing really good too. So it was a big game. You know, I'm sure they were juiced up just as much as we were. And then next thing you know, 2 days later, we go in for the COVID test and then we test positive.
Yep. That's just that part, just juggling that on top of everything else is got to just be, was just crazy. I mean, we'll add to the memories though. I mean, when you think about, I mean, you'll never forget that season, you know, ever in your life, no matter what, but add that on top of it, just a wild ride for you guys. And then as you move through the year and then head down to St. Louis, you know, you and I get scared and doesn't want to play you. And so that game in the first round, I wish Adam was with us to try to defend himself and defend the Panthers on that one. But, and then Missouri State, and then ultimately, lose to Loyola in the finals. After that loss, was it, did you guys feel good? What was the feeling like in the locker room from an at-large bid? Did you think, hey, we're still a 2-bid league, hey, we've done our work, like, we're in? And then what do you kind of remember about Selection Sunday?
Yeah, it was just, you know, unfortunate because I wasn't able to play and Tank wasn't able to play. So it was already like, you know, like, man, this is what we wanted, a championship game, and, you know, we can't play. But, I mean, that's just how life goes sometimes. But I remember, you know, after losing to Loyola in the locker room, it was kind of like that uncertainty, because it was like, wow, this is going to be a long 2 weeks, because, you know, the NBC tournament is like one of the first conference tournaments to play. So now we're like, okay, we got to wait about a week and a half, 2 weeks. So, you know, we're just watching every single college game, and then the guys on the bubble, we're like, all right, we kind of need them to lose early. And, you know, you just didn't know, because it was already COVID. So it was just a crazy year. And I was like, I couldn't tell you if we were in or out at that time. You know, even though we lost 6 games, it was always like, who do they play, you know, and the bigger teams. And it was just, you know, it's so much things that go into being chosen and selected. So, I mean, you know, once the selection show came on, it was crazy, because we were I think the second team that was chosen after that. You know, the first two teams got chosen and we were right after that. So it wasn't like we had to wait 5 minutes and to just, you know, bite our nails. So once we got our name called, it was crazy. It was just a great feeling. I mean, the excitement, like all the hard work that we put in that year, just, you know, being on a stage that we always dreamed of, you know, playing in the middle of a school day in high school. You know, I remember watching that in high school when our teacher used to pull it out at like 12 o'clock and let us watch the game. So, I mean, that was just something that, a dream we always wanted to accomplish. And I mean, it was a great feeling being in Indianapolis, you know, just with every single team that made it there, you know, seeing legendary coaches like Tom Izzo and all that, like, these are coaches I've never seen, you know, in person, just always on TV. It was just a surreal feeling.
Yeah, so what was that like? So so two things, obviously the matchup with Wichita State in the first round. I know a lot of you guys are coming in from different places, but an old Valley matchup essentially between Drake and Wichita State from back in the day. But so that's the matchup. But what's the bubble like? Because you guys, I mean, it's essentially you're in a bubble, right? You guys get to Indianapolis and it's check in, it's 24-hour wait period, it's don't leave your room, it's practice this time, that time. And so obviously, unfortunately, you didn't get the full action with the injury, but what do you remember about the bubble and your first NCAA experience?
Man, I remember it was crazy, you know, just, you know, all the protocols and all the guidelines that we had to follow. So, you know, we got there, I can't remember what day we got there, but I remember we had the quarantine in the room for the whole day. We couldn't leave. They delivered our food to the door. It was crazy. I was like, man, what the heck? Like, you know, it's about 64 teams in one big hotel downtown in Indianapolis. And, you know, we're all quarantined in our room. And it's just like, you know, everybody's anxious to get out, you know, just walk around and just, you know, see, like, oh, you know, enjoy the moment. So, you know, we get out, you know, the next morning, we got our schedule, our itinerary. So we're, you know, going, walking to the practice gym. And they got, it's like a huge, the hotel's huge. And they have a bunch of, like, courtrooms and stuff. And they just made those into basketball courts. So, you know, we're going into a courtroom and then work, going to practice. We go to Purdue to practice. You know, I'm from Indiana. So being at Purdue was like, it was crazy, you know, seeing that whole facility, never being, you know, seeing it before, practicing in there. It was just a great experience going through that. I mean, you got the media and then you just got the whole college experience at that time. The you know, the good food, the good gear, the March Madness gear, you know, you just feel like a little kid. You feel like a little kid over there. And then you finally get to that, you know, Wichita State game, and now you get police escorted to the arena. It's just crazy. It was a crazy experience, man. I always remember that. And, you know, being playing in the first four games, you know, it's only two games on at the time. So, I mean, that energy was just crazy. You know, I'm on the sidelines watching it, and I'm just seeing, you know, the game go back and forth. And just I'm seeing us make a rally towards the end, and then, you know, how the ending happened. It was just crazy. I was like, man, this is, you know, a moment that we will always remember. And just having a lot of, you know, being able to have fans there, it was a great experience.
It was awesome. It was a lot of fun. I know, even from home watching the game, and having obviously watched you guys play a ton, it was one of those things where you kind of like, I actually had a comforting feeling. I'm like, you know what, this is what they do. Like, you know, they kind of get behind and then they turn up the defense and then they force a few turnovers. And so there was a part of me that had watched you guys play enough to know, like, they're a second half team, you know, like all that stuff. But like, you get in the NCAA tournament and you feel like you're just telling yourself that. You're like, like, is this really going to happen? And then it got close and it was, you know, obviously super exciting down the stretch, but an awesome win, an awesome performance by the Bulldogs, and something that I know that all those guys will remember and hopefully motivate, you know, some future Bulldogs and everybody else as well. And then second round, you guys just catch an absolute buzzsaw in USC, who just kind of came on. Obviously the Mobley brothers just, I mean, just so big and skilled. We don't need to spend a lot of time on this, but what do you remember about that USC matchup? I mean, those guys flew under the radar for most of that year. And then all of a sudden, I mean, starting with the game against Drake, now all of a sudden it's like, man, these guys might have a chance to make a real run at this.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, going into USC, yeah, they were kind of just like very underrated at that time. You know, everybody knew, you know, the Mobley twins, the Mobley brothers, and, you know, everybody knew that, you know, they're going to get drafted and stuff. But it wasn't like we knew too much about the USC team. And they also played on the West Coast. So, I mean, you know, that time differential is a lot different. But, I mean, going into their scouting them, I mean, it's hard to scout that height and that length that they had against us. And I think that's kind of what caught up, what's caught up against us. You know, they put like a 2-3 zone on us, and then we really, you know, struggled to get clean looks. And I think that was the biggest key and biggest takeaway. I mean, you know, being on that stage, competing against them, I mean, that was a great team, a great program. It was a great experience. And I just remember, like, man, I can always say we played against, I think it was the number 2 draft pick.
Yeah.
Or I can't remember what number he was. So, you know, that's a great experience.
And putting together a nice little NBA career right now for himself too. So that's worked out well. So, all right. So then turn the page here to last season. Before things even get started, Teammate of the Year award goes to Roman Penn with giving up his number. What was the deal with that? Tell me a little bit about about you giving up your number, Tucker coming in and saying, you know what, man, you can have it.
Yeah, it was just kind of just knowing Tucker and, you know, knowing his family legacy and just, I mean, him having number 12, you know, I didn't think it was, you know, that big of a deal as far as for me, because, I mean, number 20 was my number always. But when I got to Drake, Norton had the number already. So I had to go to 12. And I, at that time, and then Jonah came and then he had number 20. So I was just like, you know, I was always number 12, but that really wasn't my number. So at that time, I was just like, well, I mean, I don't think it's a big deal if I go to number one, you know, just doing something different. Just honestly wanted to just change a number, do something different. So that's kind of how it went about. And then, you know,
yeah.
And then after that, it was just kind of, you know, made it seem like it was just something crazy, but it was just like, you know, Tucker just wanted to give Tucker the number and, you know, hopefully he does great things with it in the future.
Yeah, well, he's well on his way, that's for sure. So that'll be fun to watch that as things continue. And so, you know, you guys kind of expectations, you know, are starting to grow a little bit, obviously, after a NCAA tournament win. And so, you know, the flying under the radar Drake Bulldogs is not so much a thing, you know, going into last season. You know, you guys get a couple, you know, four good non-con wins and then go out and hit a little bit of a slide in that Belmont, who's obviously in the Valley now this coming year, Alabama and North Texas out at that preseason or early season tournament. And so what do you remember? What was a little bit of the takeaway as far as before getting into conference play, dropping those three in a row? Was there a moment where, you know, some of you older guys, you know, kind of called on the younger ones, or did anything need to be said? What do you remember as far as the ability to bounce back after those games?
Yeah, I remember just, you know, being disappointed because that was a stage, you know, we really wanted to be at and we really wanted to perform at. You know, we wanted to prove people that we can, you know, play with, you know, the best teams in around the country. And, you know, leaving that Florida tournament, I think we were very disappointed because we felt like we should have beat every team that we lost to. And we knew we could have beat every team we lost to. We just didn't play to our potential. And, you know, that's how it goes when you don't, you know, you don't play as good as you are. You lose to great teams. And at that time, we lost to, you know, three good teams. And, you know, that was a tough pill to swallow. But it also, you know, helped us get humbled, as you could say, get refocused. And, you know, going into our first conference game was Valparaiso right after that. I mean, that's even, you know, more pressure, I feel like, because that's – you don't want to go – you know, 0-1 in the first conference game and then have to wait a whole nother month to play another conference game. So that was a big, you know, big thing. Like, you know, we really want to play them. And Valpo is always a tough team to play against in general. So, I mean, that was something we really wanted to focus in on. And, you know, we're able to capitalize after, you know, taking three tough losses in a row.
And yeah, and then, you know, you, as you mentioned, bounced back, got that Valparaiso win, and then reeled off two more before dropping one to Clemson. And then, you know, catching four more there. And so going through that year now, you know, things are starting to get back to normal. So maybe even sticking with that Valparaiso game, you know, now you have an opportunity to play in front of a full house and play in front of fans and, you know, start to hear the Nap rocking. And so what was that like for you? Do you remember kind of running out, you know, whether it was that Valparaiso game or, you know, later in the year, Illinois State came to town or whatever it was, but how excited were you when you could finally start having a full gym and a full crowd to play in front of?
It was great. I mean, just, you know, seeing the fans back and just how, you know, how engaged they are and how active that they get during the games. It was a great feeling. Even the student section. I mean, the student section always gives us energy. And, I mean, we love it. I love playing in front of the fans. It's just a fun. It makes the game a lot more fun. It makes, you know, the energy a lot more fun. Like, even away games, you know, you love that negative energy. It's just fun. It's just, you know, competitive atmosphere. And you know, it's not something that you'll have forever. So, you know, I like to enjoy it. But, I mean, going into that Valpo game, that was when I re-injured my foot. So, you know, that's kind of when it went back downhill for me a little bit, and I had to sit out that month. So, yeah, it was a little rough for me, but, you know, I was able to focus up a little bit more, and then just, you know, I had to move. I just had to, you know, take a little bit more precautions on how I finished up that season.
And so talk a little bit about that with the foot. So I assume that the doctors told you, well, it's not going to get any worse. And so, you know, it's up to you and obviously pain management, I would imagine. But yeah, I mean, you put on incredible individual performances, but as well as, I mean, team performances moving throughout the year, you know, playing on that broken foot. I mean, that in itself had to be a challenge for you, but how much did it bother you? And, you know, how much do you think that it impacted, if at all, your play?
And, you know, in the beginning, it definitely bothered me a little bit because I was never able to, you know, I had to get back into shape because I didn't get this practice that whole month, and I had to get back, and it was right when conference came. So it was just hard for me to find a rhythm at first, you know, and it was hard for me to get a little bit of my confidence back and just be confident in, okay, this foot is broken, but it can't get any worse, or can it get any worse, you know?
Right.
So just kind of going with that. And then just, I constantly had treatment every day with our trainer. So, you know, that was something that I had to adjust to as well, as just constantly putting time into my body. But I love the way how the year ended. You know, in the middle, we hit a rough patch again, you know, losing like 3 games in a row, I think. So, I mean, that was just another part of adversity that we had to face. And then just having to overcome that and then kind of getting some momentum towards the end of that season. My foot felt really good, though, you know, going in after the first couple of games, it felt really good, you know, and I just was able to, you know, play a little bit better. It was up and down for me, but I was able to finish off the season pretty strong. And then, you know, I really just wanted us to be at our best going into the tournament at that time. So, you know, I felt like we were getting there. We were playing a lot better. We ended up, you know, ending the season on a good little streak. And then DJ goes down, and now we're back in the same predicament that we were before. So, you know, at that time it was like, man, you know, can we catch a break? But it was also like, all right, next man up, you know, let's do this again.
Yeah, no, I'm the injury bug is a real thing for you guys, especially late in the year. And, you know, previous years, as you mentioned earlier, you guys were so deep in that it was really kind of next man up. And there's a certain level of that works. But when, you know, you're trying to rip off, you know, 2-3, even 3 wins in a row, you know, three games in 3 days, I mean, it puts its toll on any team. Doesn't matter, you know, how good or how skilled they are. But I gotta ask, as far as the Drake UNI rivalry, obviously not from Iowa, but now, you know, you very much call Iowa home. You guys get jacked up? Is there a little extra juice flowing for the UNI game, or how do you guys treat that going into that week or that night?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously you want to, you know, obviously you learn about the rivalry and you learn about how much it means to, you know, each person. And it's just, I mean, it's a fun game to be a part of. You know, my first experience was, where was it? It was at Drake, but I didn't play in that year. But, I mean, that was the first time I seen the Knapp Center sold out. So at that time, I was like, oh, this is, you know, it's a big game. And then after that, we go to UNI and then we play in their arena, which is like a dome, which is beautiful. And that's like almost sold out. So I was like, man, this is a fun environment. And then you kind of just play to the environment. You play to the energy. And you see, you know, how competitive it is. And then, I mean, it's an in-state rivalry, just like any other school that you're in the same area towards. So, you know, you want the bragging rights. You want to win. And it was always, you know, a fun competitive game for us. And, you know, you get to play the team twice. That's what's even crazier.
Well, yeah, and the way that things have been stacking up 3 times, you guys keep seeing each other down in St. Louis too. And so, yeah, it's been something, you know, and it's been a battle too. I mean, that's what always makes that fun. I mean, this year was so weird because you guys each won at each other's place, which is unusual. You know, usually you would think it'd be the other way around. But both those games were just a ton of fun too, especially that one that you guys got at the McLeod Center. Just back and forth down the stretch, just big shot after big shot. You know, AJ's coming down hitting big shots, and you know, obviously you got the layup and the free throws late too, to kind of win and seal that game. And so just a ton of fun, you know, especially for us, you know, here just being huge basketball fans of anybody Iowa. And so always a little extra on that game. And it's fun to see you guys compete and go at it. But and then, yeah, as you mentioned, obviously, you know, down the stretch down in St. Louis, take me a little bit into that Missouri State game. You know, I remember watching that game. That was a battle. You guys snuck out the 1-point win to move to the finals again in the Valley tournament. And so knocking them off, what do you remember? That that game was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, they beat us both times in the preseason. I mean, not the preseason, the regular season. And I felt like we should have, you know, I feel like those were 2 games that we let slip away. And, you know, going into that game, I was like, well, man, no one wants to get swept by the same, you know, team 3 times in a row. So, I mean, it was a great team. They're a great team, man. It's always fun playing in Missouri State because, you know, it's always, I feel like that's another rivalry that we have. You know, we know each together so well. Those guys have been on that team for so long. We've been on our team for so long. It's always a back and forth as far as just, you know, competitive wise, but it's always respect, you know, a lot of just talking to the, to those, some of those guys off the court. It's always, you know, mutual love. And I think that was one of the best games that I've been a part of as far as, you know, in a tournament going to overtime. It was just, I mean, it was fun. It was what you expected, you know, going back and forth that whole game. It was fun. And, you know, Tucker was able to hit some big free throws at the end, and you know we were able to get the win going into Sunday.
Yeah, that was huge. You're right. I forgot that was the game that Tucker hit those free throws late. I think he had 23 or something like that in that game. You know, with you adding in a smooth 19, and so that was a good win. You know, for you guys, like you said, playing without DJ as well, and you know whether DJ's scoring or not, you know his presence on the defensive end is always huge, as he usually draws the tough assignment. And so figuring out a way on, you know, short notice, are you guys be able to prepare and make those plays? It's been a lot of fun to watch you and this squad play together and work hard here over the last several years. And so going into the last year, kind of the last ride for you guys, what are you excited about looking forward to this year? We got a couple new additions to the Valley. That'll be interesting to see kind of how that all shakes out. But what are you excited about here in this final run?
Man, I'm just excited, you know, just the moment, you know, honestly, I'm enjoying a lot more. I'm a lot more in the present of every day that's going on, knowing that this is the last time I get to do this. And, you know, last time I get to play with G, last time I get to play with DJ, I mean, the whole team, you know, Brody. And I mean, I'm so excited for this year. I mean, it's a blessing to be able to play here for another year. So, I mean, I've been enjoying the summer, you know, like I said, every day, just being around the team, hanging out, enjoying the little things, just chilling in the locker room, eating food and all that, all kinds of things, just joking around. So, I mean, I'm excited for this year. I'm excited to get back in the Knapp Center. They're making some renovations. So, I mean, I can't wait. Honestly, this is one of my most exciting years for me. You know, just being at the Knapp one more year and just enjoying it, you know, having the new additions to the conference, that's going to be even, you know, more competitive. So, I mean, it's going to be a great year.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I know that us here at Shooter's Touch are super excited about it. Talking throughout the community too, I know people have just really starting to create a buzz around Bulldog basketball in the Knapp Center, and getting down there and enjoying watching, you know, this team, your team play, enjoy being there in that environment. And so we definitely look forward to it. Best of luck here as you guys get back in the swing of school and get back into workouts and get everything going. But we can't let you out of here without doing a little rapid fire. So we're going to do some rapid fire. I'm going to throw a couple questions at you here as we move through. Some sort of have to do with basketball, some don't. Just give me what you got. It's the first thing that comes to your head, and we'll get through these, all right?
All right, sounds good.
All right, first one. Favorite visiting gym or arena?
You and I.
Oh, Cloud Center, like it. Okay, that's a good one. Was it because of last year? Because you going down and hitting some big shots down the stretch, or what?
I actually like that they have a dome, and I like how they have the sunlight on top. I think it's a great, great structure of an arena. It kind of makes it feel like it's just all on top of you.
Well, and the fans are super close too. There's not a lot of room from you know, on the sidelines or on the back of the hoop. Like they're right there. So yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. It's always fun. You have a pregame routine or superstition or something that has to happen on each game day?
Not really. You know, go through the shoot around, and then I end up going home like an hour before the game, watch a show, and then I head to the gym. So, I mean, I've been doing that for about, you know, since I've been here. So that's kind of been my routine, eat pregame food, just relax a little bit. Yeah, really nothing crazy, just relax and then put my music in, head into the gym, and then, you know, the same routine after that.
Is it always the same show, or you just watch whatever you're feeling?
Yeah, whatever I was feeling. So at that time, you know, the last year and a half, a year, 2 years ago, I was watching This Is Us.
Okay.
It's a show on NBC. So I was into that a little bit, and then it just ended this past year. So I don't know what I'm watching this show. I got to find something. Maybe, I don't know, maybe the new Game of Thrones show or something.
There you go. That would be a good one. That might be a little, that's a little bit different vibe than This Is Us, though. That might get you all fired up. You'll have to just play. You don't have to play by ear there. All right, who's your all-time starting five? I assume D Wade's in here somewhere, but who do you got? All-time starting five.
All-time starting five. I probably got Kyrie, D Wade, Jordan, Bron, and probably Shaq.
Okay. MJ, Bron, yeah, that's Shaq. That's a squad right there. I don't know if there's enough basketballs out there for those guys, but that's a squad.
Yeah,
no. favorite basketball shoe.
My favorite basketball shoe, man.
All time.
I would have to say the Kobe's. I can't remember what number they are. They were like the low tops back way back in like middle school. Like I want to say 7 or 8.
Okay.
So I can't remember what number they were, but those are my that was my shoe back then.
Man, I'm a huge fan of the Kobe Sixes. They're kind of like Kobe the snakeskin one. Yeah, those ones.
Wait.
The six, so the six and the five are like the two probably most popular ones. The sixes are the like the Grinch ones that all those guys wear.
Oh yeah.
And then the fives are those like the Bruce Lee ones that like AD always wears and all those guys. Those two.
Yeah, those are the ones. Those are actually those are probably my favorite. And the sevens are okay as well.
The sevens are good too. Is it the sevens or the eights? The ones that have the Kobe system in them, like the strapped up ankle booty things. I like those ones too. I actually played in the Kobe system ones.
Oh yeah, those are the sevens actually, I think, with the strap on, like the ankle strap or something like that.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's like it's like a full inner, like it's a full inner booty strap thing that comes with them. Those were sick too. I rocked those a long time. Obviously, shout out Adidas. I know you guys can't be wearing the Kobe's, but we got to find something that's going to keep those feet healthy this year, man. Like let's get you something.
Yeah, man. I'm going to do a little bit more digging on the Adidas shoes. See which ones, are best for me.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Whatever it takes, try them all until we find one that's going to keep them feet going, man. We gotta keep you out there for the full one. So, favorite sports movie?
He Got Game.
Ooh, yes.
Or Above the Rim. Oh, He Got Game or Above the Rim.
Dude, that's like you're speaking my language here. Those two are like my favorite movies, man. I grew up on that He Got Game stuff. That was my jam. All right, toughest guard you've been assigned. Who's your toughest defensive matchup? For whatever reason, maybe not even the best player you play, but it's just a handful whenever you've had to guard them.
Well, I didn't have to guard Mosley, but he's definitely one of the one of the great scorers that I played against. AJ obviously is a great player, and those are probably like the top two guards that I would say that are really just a handful.
Did you ever run into anybody in the AAU circuit, like when you were back in high school, where you had to end up matching up with somebody that you're like, damn, like for real?
Oh, in AAU, man, Trey Duvall was crazy back then. He was really good. I mean, we played against him. We played against Markel Fultz. I mean, those guys were like, they were different back then. They were, 6'4", 6'3", point guards. Yep. And they were already college built. So, I mean, those are great players. I mean, I go down the list of all those NBA players that we ended up playing in AAU that were just, different. That were great.
Yeah, you can just tell. You can tell. At an early age, that's like, oh, man. Okay, this is a little different level. All right, two more questions. Yep. We'll get you out of here. Favorite restaurant in Des Moines?
So my favorite – it's hard to say my favorite restaurant because I'm a big pizza guy. So, I just change it up a little bit. But I heard about a spot called Seven Stones Pizza in West Des Moines. And that's what I've been wanting to try out for a while. So I think I'm going to try them out this weekend. Have you had them before?
I have not, surprisingly, because I feel like I've had about every pizza in Des Moines, but I have not had Seven Stone. I've heard really great things about it. And so I'll definitely circle back and check in and see what you think. So now you haven't had Seven Stone yet, but what is your favorite pizza currently in Des Moines?
So I like Big Tomato is pretty good. Like Big Tomato a lot. They're off of Ingersoll. I love, I eat Lachelle's on that. Oh my goodness, their burgers are crazy. Lachelle's is a good spot. Man, I'm usually like, eating some Domino's though. you know, most of the time. And, you know, it's affordable and cheap. So that's pretty much my thing. It's really close to me too. So that's my little snag. I might eat this after this, actually.
Hey, you cannot sleep on Domino's thin crust. Domino's thin crust, man. I mean, I spent 4 years eating that stuff. That stuff's where it's at.
Man, and it's affordable. So can't go wrong with that.
No, that's good. And then after a big win, do you ever treat yourself, get some fongs every once in a while? That's kind of nice that's right there on campus as well.
Yeah, they actually just closed the fongs on campus.
Oh, that's right. They did, didn't they? You're right.
Yep. Yeah, I can't remember. I can't remember what the new spot is called, but I've never had fongs, actually. So that's crazy. I've never had fongs. Yeah, I never had fongs.
Well, you're
going to have to. I don't know why. I just never had.
You're gonna have to make your way downtown then and go to the original location and get some fongs if you're a pizza guy before you scoot out of here. That's gotta be something you try. So
right, for sure.
All right. Last one we'll get you out of here. We appreciate you taking some time with us. But so what is the best thing about being an opportunity to play basketball for Drake?
I would have to say, you know, just how well you get, you know, how well you're just treated, you know. It's a different feeling, you know, interacting with the fans and how, you know, they really treat you like as an adult, you know. And just man, it's crazy because every day I wake up and I go to Drake, it doesn't feel like you know, in college. It feels like this is like kind of like my job. Like, you know, I go in there with a smile on my face, and I think it's just being around so many great people and all the great personalities in there. It's like, it's hard to have a bad day over there. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I love about Drake, is just every day it just feels like everybody's so nice. You know, the staff members, everybody, you know, just being around my teammates. I just love that home feel, that warm welcoming.
That's awesome, man. Well, that and is refreshing and good to hear too, that that's the experience that you get on campus at Drake. And we wish you the best of luck. We appreciate you taking some time and chatting with us tonight, hearing your story a little bit. We're excited for the future and what holds, not only this year, but for you moving forward. We'll definitely be following along. And thanks again for everything.
No, thank you. Thank you, guys.